This is the Funky Gamer Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello there. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the Funky Gamer Podcast, a gaming podcast from a bunch of wannabe somebody yet still nobody British dudes who think they know stuff. I'm your host, Ricky James, and this is episode 24. In this week's show, we'll be talking about Epic's latest dodgy dealings, and there's some new Borderlands 3 news, some good, some bad. You've probably heard about it. We're going to talk about it all, so thanks for joining us. Joining me, as always, to offer their wise words of wisdom, please extend a warm welcome to my co-host, Mr. Chris Wright. Simply, how far art of thee?
Grand.
Good. Thanks for being here, as always, to you.
No problem.
And, of course, alongside him, the Geordie one, the one and only Mr. David Moore, Hollywood Pet.
How are you, boys?
How are we?
Hi. It's all good. It's all good.
Good, good, good. Thanks for joining me, chaps. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't say it's a fairly big show this week. It's been slightly lax on the news as per usual. Depends on the week, I guess. But we'll jump right into what are you playing, because there are some stuff that we want to talk about. So let's go right ahead.
What are you playing?
Dave, I'm going to go to you first. What have you been on with? Anything new, fun, etc.?
More Dark Souls 3. I'm absolutely flying with Dark Souls. I'm wiped out 8 bosses now and I'm feeling like pumped now, like I can do anything. And then I come across boss 9 and still proceed to have me arse handed to myself after 2 days.
You're owning that game, from what I can tell, though.
At the moment, but that boss is owning me at the moment, like, so, you know.
You'll get there. Perseverance is the key.
Oh, well, this is the key, perseverance. And a little bit of Borderlands Game of the Year edition.
Yes, which I will also allude to, because we've been playing it somewhat co-op to a degree.
Yes, we have.
And that's been pretty good. Maybe a bit more later on, we'll see. But I'll talk about that in just a second. Anything else?
No, man, that's it.
Very nice indeed. Hopping over to you then, Chris. Go on, tell us what you've been on with.
I have been playing some more Division 2, and I picked up Days Gone this week.
So you did. You've been posting some rather nice screenies to like Instagram and stuff.
I have. It's a very nice game to take photos in.
And as somebody that lavishes and you know, revels in photo mode, it kind of made sense that you were going to do that.
Yes, it did. It did. I am absolutely loving the game.
You're actually enjoying it?
Yes, I am. I am. The story's really good. I have come across a few zombie hordes and managed to avoid them so far. But yeah, they are, honestly, when you start running away from one of those things, you know about it.
I've seen plenty of YouTube footage of this. And it's one of them games that I really do want to play. I've got it, like I said, last week's show, but I haven't played it yet. It's just one of those. I don't quite know whether I have the stomach, as daft as that sounds. But I don't know, it looks good.
It is stressful in parts. I can say I can't play it for too long because I do get very stressed by it.
No broken pad yet.
No broken pad yet, no. No, but honestly, I am having to adapt the way I play a game to get through it.
All right. Can you expand on that a little bit? What do you mean?
I'm usually very gung-ho when it comes to this kind of game, but in this, you can't be, otherwise you will get absolutely annihilated. So yeah, stealth is not what I do, but I am having to do it for this game.
Sneaky, sneaky.
Indeed, Mr. Yes. Deej. I've just had a thought as well. Maybe you could go and play Hitman. If you manage to do all right in this.
Yeah, I could. I've tried Hitman and I could never get on with it. I don't know, maybe my whole philosophy will change after getting through Days Gone.
Well, I thought that the whole reason behind you not being able to quote-unquote play a Hitman game was purely because you were too gung-ho about things, and therefore it wasn't suited to your playstyle.
That is exactly it.
Well, who knows then? Maybe if you enjoy your time with Days Gone, you can look at Hitman, perhaps.
Yes, I might.
Good stuff. Well, I'm glad you're enjoying that, because it seems a bit of a divisive topic across the internet. Some people really enjoy it. Some people seem to be hating on it big time for some reason. I don't quite understand that much.
Yeah. It seems to be the thing with your big game releases these days. People hate on it without actually owning it.
They certainly do. But the internet's going to be the internet, so we can't change that. Let's not try to.
No, we can't.
The only complaint I've heard about it is from your typical suspects like IGN, Kotaku, GameSpot. What a surprise.
The big wigs.
People who haven't even played the game complaining about the game. It's too hard. I can't do it.
Well, I can't really talk to it because I haven't played it, but I think I would enjoy it. I will give it a go.
Yeah, definitely.
There were daily bug fix patches for the first 7 days of the game's launch.
That's new.
Yes. Yeah. Every day there was a, so they weren't big updates, but they were updates nonetheless.
Minor ones.
And yeah, you go to check the patch notes and it'll just say bug fixes.
They probably had like a priority list or something.
Yeah, I would think so.
And yeah, people do seem to be enjoying it for the most part. So I'm glad you're enjoying it, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, well, show notes for Chris's Instagram. Check that out because he does post some pretty decent screenshots, as much as I hate to admit it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let's talk a little bit about what I've been on with. So in the last week, a little bit of Anthem. Not much more to say on that as of right now. There's some stuff on Anthem in the news segment later on, so stick around for that. Borderlands Game of the Year, as Dave has already alluded to, kind of played some co-op over the course of the last week. The story's the main reason that I'm playing it for the most part. It's quite compelling to me, as I've explained to Dave in party chat over the last couple of nights. The campaign, though, it seems to be quite difficult. I mean, we struggled to kind of complete missions that were below our level with relatively average gear, you know, not necessarily bad gear.
I think a lot of that's because you were a few levels higher than me, which I have fixed this afternoon.
Really? Have you done some more?
Level 18.
Oh, right, you're way above me.
Oh, God.
Okay, well, that's not too bad. It's probably a good thing, actually. We can give that a go later if you like. But yeah, my next point was that I'm hoping that you start to feel a lot more kind of invested in the gameplay. As it goes on, you get to be more powerful and that kind of thing.
I remember absolutely owning Borderlands at some point, so I think it's just till you get to a certain level and find some decent guns and stuff like that.
And I think it is just the gear factor at the moment. So we'll continue to play that. I want to complete it as well. It's one of those games that I've always said I really want to complete, and I intend to do that. So I think we'll continue with all being well.
Yeah, man.
Next up, I've been playing some Assassin's Creed Odyssey, a game that I've mentioned previously in our podcast over the last couple of weeks. I'm around about level 20 now. Found out that the max level in that game is 50.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's pretty high.
Yeah.
But I'm nowhere near. I'm not even halfway yet. So see last week's podcast if you want my thoughts on that particular game and how I'm finding that. What I will say, just to reiterate this, though, the world in that game is gorgeous. Seriously. It is stunning. On the 1X, at least, it is amazing. And I'm sure it looks fantastic on all platforms. But, man, it's huge and it's pretty. So those two things I just really felt like I should say.
So what you're saying is it's pretty huge.
Yes. Mm. In no uncertain terms, Dave, that is exactly what I'm saying.
Awesome.
And finally on my list, I played a little bit of this afternoon. I'm talking like half an hour of this game. Batman Arkham Knight, because I've also hopped on the first two games in the Rocksteady trilogy of the Batman games, as I mentioned last week. So I thought to myself, yeah, well, let's have a look at the new, prettier Batman game. I've not played that in a while, probably. Do you know what, actually? I found out, just by virtue of looking at the intro, like, terms and conditions screen, it actually says copyright 2015. If that game came out in 2015, it does not feel like it came out 4 years ago.
No, pretty good, to be fair, for its time, yeah.
It was, and it still looks amazing, and it's not been patched either, which is a bit disappointing. I'm hoping they'll change their tune on that, but I don't think they will at this point. Anyway, I've been playing a little bit of that. Didn't really play much, but it looks really pretty. It's a Batman game. I'm probably going to play some more of it. But Borderlands right now, I think, outside of Assassin's Creed, is going to be my priority for playing. And that's all I've got.
Awesome.
Certainly is. Right, we've got a few other bits here for what are you playing, namely to cover the Xbox, PSN games, free games on those platforms for May, as well as some unexpected and rather heavy updates to Xbox Game Pass that we really weren't expecting. So we're going to go through those. We'll start off with the Xbox games. I'll take the first one here. So you can grab a game called Marooners for Xbox One. This is from May 1st to the 31st, so all month long. This is a party-based title that offers like a selection of games that can be played with up to 6 players online or local co-op. There's a multitude of these types of games out there. It's just like sofa-based games that you can play with your friends.
Need to find some friends.
Yeah, I think there's another one called Jackbox.
That rings a bell.
Which I've heard of.
I can't play that. I don't know 6 people that I actually like enough to be in the same room together with.
I think it's up to.
Oh, well.
If you know one person.
two player game, cool.
And I have like a quiz against your mate. So that's available all month long for Xbox One. Chris, do you want to say the next one?
We got the Golf Club 2019, which was added to Game Pass a couple of weeks ago.
I was thinking when I wrote this, actually, I was like, hang on a minute. Haven't we mentioned this before? And yes, you're right.
Yeah, because I played it last week or the week before.
And it was in line with the Game Pass thing.
Yeah, it was.
Kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, so they've added that on as well, which is decent. Yeah, that's from the middle of May to the middle of June. You can pick that one up.
Very nice indeed. And yeah, check the previous podcast if you want to know Chris's thoughts on that, because he does mention it in the one of the What Are You Playing segments. Dave, what's up next on the Xbox free games for this month?
We have Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon via the Xbox 360 backwards compatibility.
Very nice.
I played the original and it was cheap. It ran like crap, but it was an immense amount of fun. So I might check this one out.
I believe the sequel follows suit.
Yeah, good. Sort of need a bit of cheese. But yeah, I'll probably check it out and have a little bit of play about with it. And one of its key features actually was it had fully destructible environments. You could completely level the city, which was quite fun.
Oh my God, and this was a 360 game, and Crackdown took so long to complete.
I ran like a bag of hammers, but at least it wasn't Crackdown 3. It had something about it.
Very nice indeed. So when can you get that from? Sorry, I don't think you mentioned the dates there.
The 1st of May, so it's available now until the 15th.
Nicely done. And are you going to play that, do you think, if you played the first? Might as well.
I might give it a whirl for half an hour, see what the crack is like.
Why not? I'm sure you'll let us know if you like that. Okay, finally on the list that we've got here, a game that I've never heard of called Comic Jumper. Again, this is a 360 back compat title that's available on Xbox One, available from May 16 to the 31st. And this is apparently a self-aware, unique comic theme-based beat-em-up. So, yeah, it sounds a bit like some kind of Marvel versus Capcom thing without any like licensed characters.
Can only be awful.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I can tell from the some deadpan kind of vocal expression that I'm getting that neither of you two have played this.
Not even heard of it.
No, I have no interest.
Unsurprisingly. So there you go. There's your fill for Xbox One games with gold for this month. Go ahead and enjoy if you're an Xbox platform owner. On to PSN games for the month. We've got two of those now that PS3 titles, Vita titles have been retired. You two have got these, so go for it, guys.
We have What Remains of Edith Finch. We've previously discussed this on podcasts and how strangely depressing it was, but yet a very good game and lots of unique elements to it, which was definitely worth a play. And now PlayStation owners can get a feel of this game.
Yeah, go and listen to the previous podcast episodes if you want to know our thoughts on that as per, but it's awesome. That's what I will say. I mean, for more in-depth reasons. I know what you're saying when you say you found it depressive. I didn't quite have that take on it, but I get why you would.
It was a good game, though. It was some nice elements in there and how it changes up between different stories within the game. It was unique.
Yeah, sure. So just to clarify, this is a walking style kind of game, and you basically follow some family members of a family called Finch as they ultimately all meet some kind of untimely demise in some way. It's good. Okay, next up for PSN, the final game that you can grab, Chris, what about... Go on.
Overcooked.
Yay.
Wow.
What are the chances?
I know, right? I was just like, what?
If you want a free copy of Overcooked, just log into your PlayStation. We don't even need to be involved.
No, we don't need free codes or anything like that. It's something that I still haven't sorted. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get the code off you, Chris.
Okay.
And I'm going to put it in the show notes.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
And the first person to redeem it?
First person to read our show notes?
Yeah. I will put it in the linkage, which is kind of like top half of the show notes. So
yeah.
It shouldn't be too much work for people to find. But if somebody wants a copy of Overcooked for Xbox One, there's a little code in the show notes for you. If it's taken, then somebody's already grabbed it. If not, then lucky you. Well done. Go and enjoy that. Otherwise, if you're on a PS4, just grab it on PSN Games for the month. Why not? Okay, so we don't really have much more to add to those. We have some Xbox Game Pass updates for the month, though. I'm just going to reel these off quickly, and we'll maybe kind of touch on one or two of the titles as we say them. But from May 2nd, you can get Wolfenstein 2 and Wargroove 2. Chris, I know you said you've played both of these.
I've played both of them, yeah.
And?
Yeah, pretty well. Wolfenstein I didn't get on with, but Wargroove is pretty decent.
What is it?
It's sort of a top-down, turn-based, war-style game. I'm trying to remember what it was called on PlayStation. Oh, no, Nintendo, Advance Wars.
Oh, okay.
Way back on the Game Boy. It's that kind of style of game.
I recall that. So yeah, that actually sounds like it could be quite good.
Yes, yeah, you've got to get your thinking cap on when you play that game because it's a little bit tactical, turn-based. You've got to obviously pick the units to attack certain other units and, yeah, pick your way through it.
Nice. That sounds like more of a strategy, use-your-head kind of game.
Yes, it is, which is why I may not get on with it. But hey, I'm enjoying the first few levels.
Wow. Way to downplay yourself there, Chris.
I know, yeah.
Very nice indeed. Self-deprecation, there's nothing like it, is there, really? So it's from May 9th, you can also then get Surviving Mars, game I've heard of, but I don't honestly know what it's about. I imagine it's some kind of role-playing game on Mars in some way. Not necessarily role-playing, but some survival game, because it's in the title.
Maybe.
Don't go digging yourself into a hole here, will you?
No. I'm just going to climb that ladder whilst I've still got room to breathe.
Yeah.
And also from May 9th, you can get Tacoma, another game that I've heard of. This is definitely a space game. I believe it's from the guys that did Gone Home.
Maybe.
If you remember that game. That was another walking simulator where you go around the big house. It's a bit creepy.
Yeah. I've played that one on the PlayStation.
So this is a similar game, but it's set in space. You're on like an abandoned space station. I do remember this. See, I actually fancy playing this, so I would recommend people check this out. That's available from May 9th on Xbox Game Pass. The next one I also fancy checking out, because I'm an MMO person, Black Desert Online. Don't think that will interest either of you for some reason.
Meh. No.
I don't have the time or the interest.
No.
Well, this is one that I saw advertisements for it when it came out on PC, and I thought, wow, this looks all right, and then realized it was PC only, and then finally it's come to Xbox, and now it's on Game Pass, so I think I'll give that a go. Next up, the final few here, For the King, you can get that from May the 10th. Again, sorry, no idea what it is, but you can get it. Check it out on Game Pass when that's available. A game called The Surge from May the 16th, which, Dave, you know something about that?
It's kind of a Dark Souls type of thing, but I couldn't get along with it at all. It's brutally hard, and a lot of it depends on dodging, and if you mess up, it's game over.
Oh, right.
Not for me. Not for me.
Is that not Dark Souls, though?
Kind of.
But it's not for you.
I just didn't see myself getting on with The Surge.
Maybe now he's getting on so well with Dark Souls, he'll go back to this and enjoy it.
I don't know. It felt a bit crap, how can I feel? How can I say it without swearing and having to put up a soundbite for swearing?
No, it's fine. At least you reckon. See, it's working at least to some degree, because it's cutting down the amount of work I have to do, potentially. But what I will say, why don't you try this, and maybe Chris can try Hitman.
Can I finish Dark Souls first?
Of course you can.
Can I finish Days Gone?
Without adding another game to the list.
I've got at least a month's worth of gaming ahead of me anyway.
Sure.
Quite a big game.
free pass for a few months. Well, we're good, we're good.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, anyway, finally, guys, on this list, by the way, The Surge, in case I didn't mention it, May 16th, you can get that. I think I did say that. But also, along with that, Lego Batman 3 from May the 16th as well. And allegedly, there's going to be more games added later in the month. This is what I also established whilst I was looking into this. So,
oh, yeah, because that's the first bit of May, isn't it? So, yeah, they'll come up with some more.
Lego Batman 2.
So in a couple of weeks' time, we should have more to add to that list. Pretty much it, I think, for what are you playing, guys, unless you've got anything else you'd like to add for this section?
Nope, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
In which case, I was going to say, I'm just not going to wait for Chris's response.
That's fine. I'm okay with that.
Good. Let's move on to the news and discussion and talk about all the stuffs.
Funky Gamer, news and discussion.
Right, we've got a few good things to talk about this week, in my opinion. The first thing we're going to touch on here, Epic, somebody, or a company, should I say. We spoke about Tim Sweeney on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, I think. Maybe was it last week? Am I blanking there?
No, it was last week.
It was last week. In that last week, other stuff has happened with Epic. Namely, they have acquired, or are in the process of acquiring, should I say, the developer of Rocket League, a very popular game on many platforms now. It was announced earlier this week, Epic will be acquiring, I'm going to see if I can say this without butchering it, Psyonix. How? Why would you spell it like that?
That's how it's spelled?
Yeah, don't ask those. It is just what it is.
Yes, it is. Psyonix. Well, the thing is, I've heard people say it in videos, and I knew full well it was wrong, but I just didn't know what it was. So there you go. They've acquired Psyonix. One for the edit. Transactions.
No, not a chance you're getting away with that one.
No, you're not editing Psionics out the fact that you messed up Psionics.
No, fair. All right, fair enough. It's cemented in stone now. They won't finish acquiring Psionics until the end of the year, so it's still an ongoing process. Their original statement suggested that the acquisition would result in removal of the game from Steam, however, which has caused a bunch of hoo-ha on the internet, you know, because the internet is full of such rational, calm people, guys. What they decided to do in kind of backlash to this was go ahead and good old negative review on Steam.
Review bombing.
Yep.
In this instance, I 100% agree with it.
So do I, actually. It's just amazing that the length that the internet will go to get their point across. So yeah, there's 2,700 or 2,700 negative reviews to hit Steam since the first day of May. And we're, what, on the 5th now? So that's in 5 days.
Go internet.
Probably more by now. So yeah, the internet are getting their own back on Epic because, well, they suggested in part that they're going to be removing the game from Steam as a part of the acquisition. However, they seem to have since clarified that they intend to actually support the game on Steam for existing players going forward. Now, the terminology there is a bit misleading, in my opinion, because they're saying existing players. In other words, you won't be able to buy it as a new player. That's still removal from Steam. So what they're doing is they're firefighting by saying, well, we'll be supporting the existing player base. And in essence, they're trying to insist that nothing has changed. Now, just a couple of facts for you here. Rocket League in and of itself has sold 10.5 million copies worldwide across all platforms and has around 57 million registered players. So it's a big game.
Ooh, them negative reviews have got a lot to catch up on.
Yes, I know they have. I know they have.
I played it a lot when it launched.
You did?
Yeah.
You don't anymore because you don't have time.
No, I don't really. I don't have time. Honestly, people got so good at that game so quickly. I got kind of left behind.
It's fair enough. To watch somebody play it, it looks incredibly easy, but I do imagine there's a tremendous amount of skill to a degree that's involved.
There is. Yeah, absolutely.
So on the news announcement itself, guys, do we have any thoughts on this? I mean, are Epic to people, because this does kind of follow like hot on the heels of the story that we reported on last week, Tim Sweeney's recent call out to Valve with regards to like developer platform holder revenue and then making parity on their side. And then suddenly, within a week, they've swiped up a developer of a major game that's currently available on Steam but may not be going forward. Like, how do we take Tim Sweeney's words from last week and kind of marry these two things together in a nice way?
Don't think you can.
Divorce.
Yeah. It just seems like he's a proper dodgy fella.
Which I said last week.
You did, to be fair to you. And I, yeah, may have defended. I didn't defend him. I thought that the call out initially sounded like a good prospect, because really it is. But at the same time, like, this happening isn't great news. Well,
guys are completing it.
Oh, swear word. Yeah, well, I don't know enough about him. I know that you seem to have followed his past ventures, Dave, from what you were saying last week.
Well, being an old school PC gamer, obviously I've seen the rise of Unreal Tournament and what Epic become and the route they went down and the things he's done over the years. And this is just one of many moves he's pulled over the years.
Yeah, fair enough.
And should we believe him? No.
Absolutely not.
The kind of guy that sells his own gran.
And especially not after that statement of last week when he said Steam should give the developers 88%. Let's draw a line under the sun and let's be friends. And then he goes and pulls this.
Hmm. Yeah, it's not a good look for them, is it really? You can't really back. It's just like a backtrack without really backtracking, in essence. It's so weird. Do we think they'll actually pull the game from Steam? I mean, the backlash surely must have had some impact.
100%.
You think they will?
I will pull it from Steam because he's such a douchebag that he will do that.
Calling out Tim Sweeney there. No, I was
calling out Tim Sweeney. So was Tim. You can have me retro collection of video games, which is probably better than your retro collection of video games. Other than that, that's all you're getting, mate, because I've got an out.
No, that's fair enough. Well, I haven't really played Rocket League. I know a few people that do. It won't really affect the majority of the player base in terms of console owners, obviously, which is likely the majority of the people that listen to this podcast. But if for PC players, this isn't necessarily a good thing. Although it does kind of come back to this suddenly age-old argument of, well, it's just on another platform. What? It's another launcher. What's the big deal?
It's the way he's going about it. The little digs he's having here and there. The things he's saying he's doing, then he's not doing. It'll bite him on the ass, big style.
Shady. Chris, what do you reckon to this? Anything?
I have no opinion either way.
Totally fair.
Yeah.
I wouldn't expect you to.
No.
I know you usually thoroughly enjoy gaming on PC, but in this case, that's not a topic of interest.
No, not for me. Not this time.
Cool. There we go. Well, we'll have to see whether they actually kind of play well on their promise here and actually retract the game from Steam, or whether they subside to the backlash.
He won't. He'll double down. Trust us. He'll double down on it.
Well, we can say that you called it if he does, Dave, and we'll be sure to report further news to that end if it's something that becomes prominent. Chris, what's up next? Go for it. We'll leave the epic stuff behind us.
Oh, here we go. Life is Strange 2, Episode 3 is coming.
Whoop, whoop.
And it's literally coming this week.
How excited are you?
I'd like to be excited, but I can't be.
Really?
The first two episodes have been quite a drag. I'll play through it because I feel I'm committed. But I've now seen the sort of the launch windows for the next two parts following this one as well.
Oh, right. Yeah, of course. Actually, we've got some notes here. Go through that because that alludes to the further dates that you're talking about there.
Yes. Okay. So we've got episode 3 this week coming May the 9th. Episode 4 is coming in August, and episode 5 is coming in December.
So it is a full-on year, basically, to more than that.
Yeah, there's really no need. They take, what, 3-4 hours to play through at most? By the time I boot up the new one, I'll have forgotten what happened in the last one.
Sure. I mean, I would question the reason, I'll kind of give you some background into why I'm asking this question. Telltale, over the course of their strained tenure in the games industry, managed to churn out quite a number of their style of adventure games, right? There's an argument to be made that whilst a lot of them are good narratively, that the mechanics of them get a little bit stale because it's the same thing basically over and over again. I'd like to know how Life is Strange maybe compares to that, because I'm wondering whether the longer development cycle is because of the way that they develop, i.e. it's not like a rinse, repeat, rehash like Telltale kind of did, but maybe it's more of a refined experience in the way that you play the game and that kind of thing?
Not at all.
Really?
It's essentially the same gameplay. You're following a linear story, so there's not really too much they can do with it.
No, that's very true. I mean, I don't know how bad their developer tools or good their developer tools are, like in terms of how long it takes to put together a scene and animate it and all that kind of thing. And that's the only real thing that I could think would hinder their ability to push these games out the door quicker.
I think there was a glitch when I was playing episode 2. And you know, you obviously played the two brothers going through this story, and my brother disappeared for one entire scene. And I was talking to him and interacting with him as if he was still there.
Oh, see, that's not good, because it really breaks the immersion, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was horrendous.
So I take it that's part of the reason maybe that soured your expectation of episode 3, perhaps?
Yeah, obviously I will play it, and I'm just not that excited for it anymore because the story's been quite a trudge to play through as it is.
Okay, well, fair enough. If you do play it and somehow it manages to turn you around by the narrative, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
I'd be interested to know your thoughts on that. It's not out just yet, so yeah. I'm pretty sure you'll probably find some time for it at some point, just because you bought the season pass, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know whether we kind of alluded to it. Do we think a year is fair for a real turnaround on that? Because it's charging for season pass content. When did you pay for that season pass, Chris?
Oh, God, before episode 1 launched. So, what, August, September last year, it must be.
So, they won't have episode 4 will be coming out in August this year. So, a year on,
yeah,
they're only 4 episodes in.
Yeah.
It's like literally an episode a quarter.
It's a very strange thing because they're not lengthy to play through either by any stretch of the imagination. You can fly through them.
No. Do you regret the purchase of the season pass just down to the cycle of development?
Kind of, yeah. Because I was thinking, obviously, yeah, the first one, I played through the first one pretty much straight off all the way through.
Right.
Because I bought Life is Strange as a whole initially when it came out. And obviously now I'm picking up season 2 and we're going through it at this slower pace. I mean, my God, there's no need.
Sounds like it's just a drain on you.
It really is. It really is. Just trying to remember what decisions I made in the last bit of the game.
Does it not give you like a recap?
There is a brief recap, but it's not really that lengthy.
Previously, and 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Life is Strange Season 2.
Yeah, we can remember what you did, can you? Not a chance.
Yeah, well, I guess that's never good for a game of that style as well. I mean, you'd think that they do a bit of a better job between episodes to kind of fill you in on the decisions you maybe made, like Dave says, 6 months before.
Yeah, that'd be handy.
It's 6 months later when you start an episode, 6 months earlier, sorry.
Unbelievable. Well, there you go. I'm sure you will play it. We just really wanted to let people know that it's due. If you've played Life is Strange, the second season specifically, would like to know your thoughts potentially on this. You can find the Twitters, all the good stuff. Converse with us in the show notes and at the end of the show as well. Right, let's go on to some, I wouldn't say Anthem stuff, but it's more BioWare in general, I suppose. Can you believe, guys, the internet's been kicking off at BioWare this week?
Who'd have thought it?
It's a new movement.
Mm.
Who would knew? So,
what a surprise.
It certainly is. This follows the internet suddenly noticing, amazingly, I don't know how people spot this, but BioWare changes, but I'm not going to, even though I just did. They noticed bio changes on Twitter for some of the more prolific figures that worked on Anthem. So these two specifically that I pulled out here, just because I've heard of them, the executive producer on Anthem, Mark Darrett, and lead producer, Mike Gamble, who's a guy that's been on a number of live streams, actually. They now associate themselves with other BioWare projects, it would seem, according to their bios on Twitter. A tweet from Darrow also suggests he's actually moved over to work on the much-anticipated Dragon Age 4. And Gamble, on the other hand, has been throwing out tweets in an attempt to throw water onto a blazing fire. He's basically saying that the company's commitment to Anthem hasn't wavered, sticking by their guns. Can we see why the internet would be getting mad at this? I mean, it's a bit of a bad time for them to be kind of making those changes, but maybe that's why they've kept it so low key, perhaps?
I don't know what the hell's going on at BioWare. I don't even think BioWare know what's going on at BioWare.
Well, that's the impression they seem to give, isn't it? Which is why it's not a good look for them.
I mean, if they don't do anything with Anthem as it stands, or anything to improve it anyway, then they honestly think Dragon Age 4 is going to do very well.
No, I mean, and there's rumours that they're potentially try to turn not all of it, but parts of that into like a games as a service model as well, which is just makes me cringe a little bit.
Terrible idea.
Good luck with that, BioWare.
Yeah, the way that Anthem's hit the ground crawling
and splattered.
Yeah, there's no chance that anybody is going to go anywhere near Dragon Age 4. Not at launch.
Seemingly not. Well, BioWare don't have the best will of the people right now, do they?
They're not doing anything good.
No, well, they need to fix Anthem.
Every story that comes out is just nightmare after nightmare.
It is. They need to, in my opinion, they need to fix Anthem. And I know that seems like a really obvious thing to say, but it's for a multitude of reasons, not just because they owe it to the Anthem players.
Where's our Cataclysm? Where's our loot? Come on.
Exactly. Where's all the stuff that we kind of got promised from day one, or maybe even day 30, that still hasn't.
They've just set fire to the roadmap and thrown it away.
They have, and Casey Hudson is sat there toasting marshmallows on it, laughing.
Well, fair play to him.
I actually don't think he's... To be fair, out of all the general managers of most of the major development companies that I see out there, Casey Hudson's probably one of the more likable people. So, as much as I hate to dump on Anthem, I'm not going to do so on Casey. Casey, if you're listening, get in touch. So,
Casey, if you're listening, fix Anthem. Don't even bother with Dragon Age 4. It's dead on arrival.
Do we think BioWare are being genuine here, guys? Like, because, again, they've made promises in the past, and I know that stuff can change and stuff. They're learning lessons, blah, blah, blah. But there's got to be a limit as to how much people can take on this, right? Because they just keep changing their tune. Stuff just keeps changing. Do we think that they're going to remain committed to the game in the manner that they say?
Not a chance.
Hell no.
What do we think is going to happen then?
I think they're going to drip crap content out for it, drag it out for maybe another 6-8 months, and then dump it.
On the sidelines.
Yes.
And then throw us Anthem 2 in a couple of years.
Because there's also been issues with the matchmaking due to the player base dropping off, I believe.
Yeah, I read that this week.
Yeah, that's kind of something that surfaced.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. No, that's a good point, actually.
That's great going, by the way. Your online shooter is having problems connecting to people online because people online are not playing your game. Awesome.
Including Chris.
Yeah, I'll not go back.
Plus, it doesn't help that the servers are down right now.
Yeah. Yes, the EA servers are down for everybody.
Yeah, the time of the recording, just before we started recording, Chris was watching the EA Twitter feed, I think. Is that right?
Yes, the EA Help Twitter feed was amazing to read.
Very nice indeed. I don't suppose, just out of curiosity, have you got any tweets there that you can quickly quote? I don't suppose you got them up.
I have none that I can read aloud.
So, yeah, fair enough.
By the one that I told you earlier.
What was that?
Who needs a girlfriend when the EA servers will go down on me without even questioning?
That's fine. There's no swear words in there. It's just adult humor.
There you go.
Wow. That's the extent people are going to over on the EA Help feed right now. So who knows? Maybe you can go and check that out historically and see all the fun as it unfolded whilst we recorded this. I don't know what to make of this personally. I really do, as I always say, hope that they turn this around. But I am genuinely starting to lose faith now in terms of...
Yeah, I don't think they can.
Oh, it's a dumpster fire, like.
They just need to stick to something that they say. And that's the problem. But have they dug themselves too deep of a hole at this point? Not quite enough for me, but I'm really on that kind of tethering end. So they need to come out with something soon that's going
to... Yeah, I'm pretty much there, to be fair, with BioWare.
It's going to ratify the player base. So not much else that we can really say. People are blowing up over this, and kind of expectedly so. I don't think that the major departures in question here will have any tangible effect on the way that the game's being developed. To be honest with you, just because they're two key figures, it doesn't necessarily mean that the game can't continue. You don't necessarily need key figures in position to oversee that kind of thing. But again, the timing on this was just so bad. And the fact that they kept it quiet has really not worked in their favor here, although you can kind of maybe understand why they did.
Mm, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Right, let's move on to probably the main piece of news that's been making the rounds this week. We've got some new Borderlands 3 info, and Dave's going to go right ahead, and he's going to tell us all about it.
So we've got some gameplay of it finally, and it looked absolutely fantastic.
It did. Amazing.
So we started with areas. It was obviously more advanced sections of the game to demonstrate the higher levels of gameplay. But there's also lots of world improvements. So we can now slide and mantle up on the surfaces as opposed to having that jump that was a little bit convoluted on the original Borderlands.
Yeah, like we can speak to this having recently played it.
It's like jump, get up. But so there's now a mantle and you will be able to jump up onto certain areas, which is a nice little addition. Also, it's a brand new story with all new Vault Hunters and an obscene amount of weapons, which you all knew was going to happen anyway.
Yeah, they did put a number on it, but I don't want to guess it just in case I get it wrong.
It'll be billions.
Yeah, it's like a billion guns or something like that.
As I think they actually made a system that randomly generated guns and it was some kind of untold number it could generate. So yeah.
Correct, yeah. I believe that is true as well.
Yep, so we'll also get tweaks as loot instances, just sure all players get their own unique loot, as well as game scaling. So basically, it's not going to be a
pitch
anymore. If I'm level 5 and you're level 20, it'll scale somewhere in between, so we can all have a nice experience.
Yeah, so those are specifically for the co-op and multiplayer. Obviously, it won't impact the single player.
And we've also found out we'll be traversing the galaxy in a ship named Sanctuary 3.
Now, I don't want to spoil things for myself here, but just by way of a yes or no answer, Dave, because you finished Borderlands, is Sanctuary 1 a thing?
No, I don't believe it is.
Oh, so why? I'm wondering why they settled on Sanctuary 3, like, because I'm pretty sure there was a point in the conference as well where Randy Pitchford said something like, don't ask about Sanctuary 2.
Maybe that's why.
So I assumed that maybe they'd put Sanctuary 1 in one of the earlier games and then suddenly they were now introducing the third one. But it seems like that's completely wrong.
Can't say for sure because it's been a long time since I played Borderlands, to be fair. Like,
maybe it's... Did you complete the second game?
Yes, I think I did, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say maybe it's in the second game instead of the first.
I see. It's still a long time ago for the second one.
Sure. So, I tell you what. Chris, did you watch any of this? Have you watched any gameplay highlights or the conference itself?
Absolutely none of it. No, it completely passed me by.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
No interest in Borderlands whatsoever?
No, not right now.
Okay, I would have thought you'd have had a look at it just to see what it looked like.
Yeah, I saw the little running gun turret thing. I think that was enough for me.
All right, well, that's I was going to say that's your humour, but it's really not. You don't have a sense of humour.
Absolutely not, no.
But it gets better than that, because in true form of the internet, there was some controversy.
Oh, yeah, so there was some stuff that kicked off. The conference itself was really good. I do, by the way, I'm just going to put this out there. I do still think this game, no matter what, looks awesome.
Yeah, it will be.
And it's gonna sell millions. Plenty of footage out there. I encourage people to go check it out. But yeah, there's been some rather humorous controversy, in my opinion, because Randy Pitchford's been at it again. God, that guy's funny.
So basically it all kicked off because it's got no microtransactions, but it has microtransactions that are cosmetic microtransactions that you have to pay for to purchase the microtransactions. But don't forget, they're not microtransactions.
They're not microtransactions. No.
And that's why Randy got his knickers in a twist about, because he was called out by the internet.
Yeah.
Randy actually swore, didn't he?
Yes. He said, why would you F me on this? See what I did there?
Well done.
Professional. Thank you.
No, the question is, Randy, why would you F us on this? Why am I calling out Randy Pitchford and Todd Sweeney, or whatever he's calling, in one podcast? What the hell's going on?
Yeah, in one week. To be honest, right, and I do you know what, right, I would probably be one of the last people to defend Randy Pitchford anyway, right? But I actually don't think he was being disingenuous when he made the statement. Don't get me wrong, yes, it's absolutely incorrect what he said. I don't think he necessarily intended to mislead by the way that he said it. So it kind of comes around to the fact that he insinuated there would be no loot boxes in Borderlands 3. So in other words, you can't buy a loot box, get a random gun or something like that. But it came out afterwards with an interview with, I think it was the creative director, a guy called Paul something. I'm blanking on his last name. He basically said that they're going to be offering cosmetics. And at that point, people started asking the right question, which is, well, hang on a minute, it's paying for something, so therefore it's a microtransaction. But Randy said that there wouldn't be any microtransactions, and now you just said there would. So the internet's gone haywire. What do you two think of this? Surprising?
If you have to pay for it, it's a microtransaction. Whether it's a skin or a gun, it's still a microtransaction.
Yep. I totally agree. I hate microtransactions with a bloody passion anyway, and I mean massively, just because I don't think they have any place. It's just a money-making scheme. The excuses that you hear with regards to, saves people time, la 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 la. No, it doesn't. It makes people money. You. Makes you, the company, money. That's all it does. Stop selling them. Yes, you can tell it's something that really bugs me. But I still don't think he was being disingenuous. I don't think Chris is going to have anything to say on this, because he's had nothing to say on Borderlands thus far.
You would be absolutely correct. I do like Randy, though.
You like him?
Yeah, it might not be his fault.
He's actually a cool guy, to be fair.
Yeah,
he said some crazy stuff, but
yeah,
he is kind of cool. He's like a crazy uncle.
If you go all out gunning for somebody, yeah, if you go all out gunning for somebody on the internet, then expect some feedback, regardless of who you are.
100%. And it's the internet, as we keep saying, so the hater's going to hate. It doesn't matter what the topic is. The hater's just going to hate. There is always going to be somebody that hates it.
Yeah, you can't win either way.
I do think that there's an underlying point to be made here with regards to microtransactions. I don't think it's right to suggest overall that somehow cosmetic purchases aren't microtransactions, because they are. And I think that that should be something that's widely spread. The word should be out so that people know that. But yeah, I don't think Randy meant any ill will here. And he did a magic trick once that, yeah, that was a thing.
I remember you saying about that.
I could not believe what the hell I just watched. It was just nuts.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
He's a magician, isn't he? Originally.
I believe he is.
Randy, make their microtransactions disappear. Haha, just like that.
He can magically send me a copy of Borderlands 3 when it comes out, if he manages to hear this, by all means.
It's not going to happen after I've just sat and slagged him off, is it?
Nah, we did kind of say, in your defense, that Randy is kind of a cool guy.
Yeah, we did. But still, I don't think it's going to put a bandage on that wound, like.
I think we're trying to sit on the fence with regards to Randy Pitchford, guys. We're trying to not insult him, but also say he's wrong and occasionally a dick. We swear we're a dick.
Because you never know, you might listen to this one day.
Absolutely. However, if for your own purposes you want to check out the entire slew of tweets that occurred as a result of this, and then I'll put something in the description and you can go and check it out. But it's quite entertaining to read through. And there's also a bunch of videos on YouTube that are covering this from many indie news reporters and also obviously sites like IGN and such. But we're not going to talk about them. I will still pick up Borderlands. This is not going to tarnish my opinion of what I already know about the game.
No, I'll definitely pick Borderlands 3 up.
Well, we can have a go at that. And I believe it's... Oh, God, I've started this sentence now. I don't actually know the answer. Do we know when it's out? Is it September?
Then, I don't know. No idea.
September rings a bell.
Well, we probably shouldn't ring bells. Somebody quickly Google it and... I'm on it. Okay, well, excuse me. Whilst Dave quickly looks...
September the 13th. There you go.
There you go. September the 13th. That's awesome. I'm glad I wasn't wrong because I would have... I don't know, just felt really bad.
You'd have looked foolish. That would be unusual.
I'd do my best to not look foolish. Right.
Keep trying harder.
Thank you. That's pretty much all we have. There's a bunch of Borderlands stuff out. It's awesome. It looks really good. There's been some controversy around the loot box stuff. And yeah, I'm still going to get it either way. I'd like to know what other people think, specifically about the loot box controversy. Do other people actually think that this can kind of constitute loot boxes in and of themselves, i.e. purchasable cosmetics? Or do people have a different opinion? I'd really love to know. We would really love to know. Check the show notes. Stick around to the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can get in touch. I don't think I've got anything else to add to the news here. What about you two?
Do you want to discuss the Sonic the Hedgehog trailer?
We can have a quick conversation about it, sure. It's not gaming related, but well, of course it is.
It kind of is, but it looks like it's going to be a horrendous movie.
One thing I would like to point out, and I'm sure you two wholeheartedly agree with me, the character animation for Sonic himself looked absolutely incredible. Like, it was so faithful to the original. It did not look like a man in a hedgehog costume at all. Oh,
it's going to haunt my dreams forever, that, like.
It's the most terrifying thing I have seen on the internet in a while.
I don't understand how you can go so far from a source material. It's not like Sonic's a new IP. It's been about 20 years plus. There's been many iterations of Sonic, be it cartoons, games.
But he doesn't look like that.
And he doesn't look like that.
He's never, ever looked like that. I think there's a degree of kind of force change. I don't know. You kind of see it in Hollywood these days when they remake these kind of niche things into big Hollywood IPs, and they tend to make weird changes to stuff like this. Does that make sense?
I know, but at some point, surely somebody would have come around and went, dude, that doesn't look like Sonic. Looks nothing like Sonic. Looks like a man in a blue suit with red trainers on. What are you playing at?
The thing is, it went through Sega.
Yeah, somebody at Sega went, yeah, that's fine.
Yes.
Were they bladdered? Bladdered or high, one of the two. Maybe both.
They were all drunk or high, or both, yeah, when they had the pitch for this. And they all sat there in that meeting and they went, you know what, dude? That.
That's it. You've nailed it. Well done.
That looks really good. Keep that. People will like it. No, people will love it. Now I'm going to go and smoke a pipe.
It needs more teeth. It definitely needs more teeth.
Yeah, that was one disturbing thing as well. Human teeth. I mean, come on.
It just looks weird. And the eyes as well. Like they did some weird stuff with the eyes.
It's just.
But after the internet kicked off about it and they made a hell of a noise about it.
Yeah, they've said they're going to change it.
The director of the movie says he's going to change it, which brings me to my next theory. Just putting it out here, I think it's all a marketing ploy.
Yeah, you were saying.
I think, you see, there's been reports of that trailer being seen by certain people 4 or 5 months ago, and it looked exactly the same as that. So this is a perfect way to create hype for a film. Bring this release out of this shocking iteration of Sonic the Hedgehog. The internet kicks off, we give them a day or so. Right, we're going to fix it. They're already fixed it. They're already on it.
Yeah, but they've got...
Because to change something like that this late in the game is a mammoth task.
Yeah, and it's a big PR tool for them because people know about it now and they've suddenly changed it. And that would have been my next point, which is the fact that they... When does the movie release? It's sometime this year.
November.
So towards the end of the year, like CG is an expensive thing to do. It's not just time consuming, it's expensive. Why do you think Game of Thrones only has dragons in so many scenes? Because they're damn expensive to render. and create.
The thing is, the CG on Game of Thrones wiped the floor with that CG.
I know. Well, HBO have kind of got unlimited funds at the moment as a result of that show, but...
You would have thought Paramount Pictures would have unlimited funds as well, to be fair.
Yeah, nonetheless. Let's not branch off into Thrones right now, but still, some of the rings are kind of shady when they say they're going to change it this late in the game, but maybe you're right, Dave.
The thing is, as well, is like you say, it's not just a case of, oh, we'll make his eyes a bit bigger, it would actually mess up the whole model.
Yeah, the whole shape of it's weird.
And the way he fits within, the way he fits into the world, the way people interact with him, if they change how tall he is, people would be looking at him from a different perspective and it would just throw the whole film out. So it's impossible to do what they're doing at this point.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, we will see exactly how he turns out. I bet it will turn out much like the mock-ups that the internet have done somehow. I really am expecting to see that.
And it'll be a complete dumpster fire.
Probably.
There was also an article came out about the director of Detective Pikachu. And obviously, we know how good the CG looks for that and how good the Pokemon look. And he's basically said, I don't want to be in their shoes.
Now, yeah, he's basically said it's a bit like, I draw some kind of parallel between the Anthem development team and the guys over at Sega and the guys that are making this movie at the moment, because both of them are just seemingly kind of undergoing some kind of crash test, it would seem, which isn't good for both of them. But hopefully the guys that are making Sonic can come out of this on the other end with a faithful rendition of that character.
You'd hope so.
Good luck with that.
Certainly, we're wishing them the best. I hope it is good. I just want Sonic to look like Sonic, please. Thank you. Right, that's pretty much it with, some Sonic stuff. People of the internet, people of the listening to the Funky Gamer podcast thing. That's a sentence.
Well done. Jesus.
The Funky Gamer podcast thing. That should be a new slogan, that one.
Get in touch.
You're putting that on a t-shirt.
No, I'm not going to. Yeah, actually, that's not a bad idea. If it takes off, if people start calling me on it, maybe I will. So, anyway, let's move on, guys. We had a little bit of a chat about Sonic there. I'd like to know what you think, people of the listening thing, as I say. Right, shall we move on to Chris's Corner?
Yes.
Let's go.
It's time for Chris's Corner.
Okay, this week I have had more time to prepare, but no more time to do my thing. So I have a few bits and pieces this week. Branching off from Borderlands.
Tell all.
You may have noticed the voice actor for Claptrap has changed.
Has he?
Did you not notice?
I didn't know.
I didn't. I thought he sounded identical.
Yeah, maybe they've just put it through that many filters, but apparently those that are the hardcore people had noticed that his voice had changed in Borderlands 3. And the reason behind this is they wouldn't pay the voice actor enough.
He got hung up over money.
Fair play.
Yes, David Eddings, who was a part of the Gearbox team for Borderlands 1 and 2, he is now no longer part of the team, and therefore he wanted money for it.
Oh, so he wanted paying as a VO artist, basically.
Yes, he wanted paying as a voice artist. Whereas for the first two games, he was already part of the team. Obviously, he didn't need to get paid any extra. But now he's not part of the team. He wants money, and Gearbox said no.
That's kind of shady. Well, I don't know. If they, to be fair, the guy that they seem to have got to replace him sounds very, very similar. I didn't notice any difference, but he's. I don't know. I don't think it's wrong for him to demand money for the service if they're going to use the original voice actor.
No, not at all.
Randy, what are you playing at?
Hang on a minute. Does that mean that you're now saying that they got somebody else from the Gearbox team, excuse me, to do the voice? Because otherwise they're going to have to have paid somebody else anyway.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just trying to find the bit, but I think they must have done. They must have had to pay somebody else, and probably less than what Eddings was asking for.
Yeah, that would make some sense. In fact, no, I can almost guarantee that's what it was. They did pay somebody, but just less money. Because let's face it, the guy that's done the voice in the original two games, that's a bit of an iconic character, at least among fans of the Borderlands series. Like, everybody knows who Claptrap is, for the most part.
Yeah, there was some other news, though. So there was some other news that came out regarding voice actors, and Troy Baker and Nolan North will not be in Borderlands 3 either.
Oh, thank God for that.
Yay! Some positive Borderlands news.
First time for everything, isn't it?
So there you go. They saved a few quid all over there.
I'm just looking at his previous work here. He's got a bit of a nerve. He's not exactly a top voice actor. He's been in Borderlands 2, Borderlands, a pre-sequel, Tales from the Borderlands, and Bendy and the Ink Machine. That's it.
Oh, right. Well, you enjoyed Bendy and the Ink Machine.
And this is since 1998. He's doing well.
He's not done a hell of a lot, then. Jeez.
I'm guessing he was some kind of designer or programmer on the original Borderlands.
Yeah, he just had the right voice for the role, I guess.
God knows. The voice of Claptrap, that's it.
Well, I can't tell they changed it, so as far as I'm concerned, not a big deal. But interesting to know, actually. I genuinely did not know that.
Yeah, there you go. Always informative, this little bit of the show.
Well, yes, okay, fair enough.
You've got to give me that one.
Yes, all right, Chris, I give you that one.
Okay, on to the next point from me. There is a Ghost Recon teaser that suggested we'll be seeing a new Tom Clancy game this week, or at least an announcement of one.
I don't know how I feel about this.
Ghost Recon Wildlands 2.
Yeah.
Ghost Recon Far Cry Wildlands 2. That's how it is.
Rehash.
Reskinned for a new generation.
No other info bar that little rumour has surfaced. So, yeah, come May the 9th, if we see something Tom Clancy related, then, yeah, you heard it here. But they're saying it's not going to be Splinter Cell.
Oh, well, people really want a Splinter Cell game.
Which is what people are wanting. So I don't know what other Tom Clancy game they could throw.
And there is, you know, I said I was playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey recently. Well, they still have the segments of the game where you can get out of the Animus and play as a normal day human being.
Yeah.
And interestingly, in this particular game, Odyssey, you play as a female, I can't remember her name, but it's the Animus is actually in London.
Okay.
In a building in London. And when you walk around the apartment in which you're situated, one of the kind of Easter eggs is a prop on the table. It's Sam Fisher's goggles.
Ah, yeah.
So I think they included it in Origins.
Yeah, Ubisoft always do this kind of thing.
But I don't know whether it's just like a nod to the IP or whether it is some kind of insinuation that they're actually doing something with it.
Yeah, I just think they are constantly nodding.
I don't like that. Make a Splinter Cell game. I was never a big fan, but I want one now.
Yeah, I think it's been that long. 2011, I think the last one was. So it's been a fair while.
So we think there's going to be a new Wildlands game.
I don't even know. I don't even know where this could take us. I mean, it won't be Rainbow Six because the playbase for that game is still huge.
God knows.
I think the only thing it could be is a new Wildlands. It's not like they have a lot of Tom Clancy IPs, is it?
No, and they've just released The Division as well, which is, of course, Tom Clancy IP.
Yes, at its core, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's called Tom Clancy's The Division as well. It's also in the title.
Is it?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Yeah. Chris, you're like the biggest Division fan and you somehow...
I know, yeah, I can't.
That's that is amazing. We just established fact. that's impressive. Are you checking this now?
I can see the game box. I can see the game box from here, but I can't quite make up.
Oh, it is. 100%.
You're trying to squint.
Yeah, it's too far away.
All right, fair enough. Well, let's see whether anything surfaces on this particular rumour. Like you say, if it does, you hit it here first. We'll probably talk about it as part of the news next week if that actually turns out to be the case.
You'd hope so.
Well, we certainly will. If you turn out to be correct, it will be in the news next week. I almost guarantee it.
No, I'm glad to hear it. Okay, on to my final point for the week. Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which you were discussing earlier. They are adding a mercenary for you to fight.
Oh, is this Testiklos or whatever he's called?
This is Testiklos, which has led to the internet coming up with so many ball gags, it is untrue.
That's amazing. Have you got any?
There's the whole biggest dickest thing. That was the main one for the week. So obviously, if you've seen Life of Brian, you are aware of the biggest dickest character.
If you haven't seen Life of Brian and you're of a certain age group, a younger age group, go and look up Monty Python and have fun. Enjoy your historical learnings.
Yes, just type in biggest dick. Hang on. That could lead to many dodgy searches.
It could do. Do not on our account go and search for anything.
Preface it with Monty Python, please. Otherwise, it will lead you to a very seedy part of the internet.
Put it in YouTube. That Chris is all too familiar with, therefore he talks from experience.
The full title for this guy is Testiklos the Nut. So they know what they've done.
That's amazing.
Imagine having a gamer tag like hairy beanbag versus testicle.
Yeah. The weapon you get by beating him is called the Nutcracker.
That's horrible.
Internet backlash incoming for being sexist and misogynistic.
I can go nowhere else with this news story.
I'm going to try and change my gamer tag to testicles, I think. What did you try? What were you looking for the other day, Dave? The Captain something or other?
Captain Dankbeard or something. I was going to change my gamer tag. I can't have it, though. Oh, gutted.
He genuinely actually looked up Captain Dankbeard, and we were trying like Captain. Captain Dankbeard.
Aye, Captain. I don't know, I just fancied a piratey type of gamer tag, but I can't have it, so it's not meant to be.
Not on, is it? There you go.
It was funny. So, yeah, apparently, I have heard about this testicles thing. That was a really, really weird sentence. Woo! Yeah, it's just a humorous thing all around. I think I'm glad people are embracing it.
Of course. Ubisoft know what they've done there. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Props to the guys at Ubisoft for just having no shame.
Yes. And here endeth my corner.
Very nice indeed. Thanks very much, Chris. Dave, you got anything to add to the ye old corner here?
Yes, I have.
Ooh, tell all.
We had a game called Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, which is a spiritual successor to Castlevania, created by the same guy. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name, because it's one of them.
Oh, go on.
Koji Iragashi. And I think I'm actually right there.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, yeah.
That's not bad. Chris is our expert on Japanese names, so...
So this is the second time it's been delayed because of feedback saying that it looked like something from 2003. And the guy has went back to the drawing board with this game and released a trailer, and it looks fantastic.
Yeah, you sent this to me.
They've basically gone in, changed all the graphical art assets, and it looks like a completely different game. And everybody's like, yeah, this is what you do. So well done to him for listening to fan feedback instead of calling her out, Randy Pitchford being horrible, Tim Sweeney.
Yeah, all these toxic people.
Listen to us. Listen to us. We've been doing this a long time. We know what we want. We know what we like. And I'm going to put a link to the video in the show notes, because his actual intro to the video is brilliant. It starts with him sitting at a table, drinking a glass of wine, looking at the negative feedback, and then basically throws the glass away and goes, right, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to show you. And he has.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
And it looks awesome. So on that premise alone, I'm definitely going to buy it.
It's very self-aware. I think you've already sent me the link. I will make sure that I do include it in the show notes for you there, Dave. That's a good point. It looks really good. And if anything, the trailer itself is just entertaining to watch, even if you're not a fan of this guy or his games.
Yeah, well self-aware what's going on. And I've got something else.
Oh, my word.
Ooh, go on.
The Intellivision Amigo, which is a console launching.
Right.
We are getting an exclusive game to it, and this is absolutely fantastic for myself. It's none other than Earthworm Jim.
Okay, so yeah, you've found some stuff about this today. Have you got any more info on...
Yes, well, I follow Doug Tenable on Twitter and on YouTube, and basically he's the creator of Earthworm Jim. He went out and did an indie comic last year called Bigfoot Bill. The reception's been phenomenal for it, and he's actually getting back together with the entire team of who created Earthworm Jim, and they're all on board for this.
Right, so have they confirmed they're working on a new game?
Nice.
Oh, 100% confirmed.
No, that's very good news.
They had a podcast, like a meeting on the 4th, which is actually available on YouTube. I'll send you links over at the well. And all 10 original programmers and artists and audio team and level designers are all involved with this.
Very cool indeed. Have they said what platforms they're developing for?
Just the Amigo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Well, that's a really good thing because, I mean, man, especially for fans of Earthworm Jim like you.
Awesome. But it's well worth a watch, the video, actually, because I could still go into a few details about it. But yeah. I'm well happy about this one. And not only that, he also is doing an Earthworm Jim comic. It's the origin stories of Earthworm Jim.
Very nice indeed. I've got to say, I'm not too big on Earthworm Jim, but I know it's got a very prominent place in gaming history, and I know a lot of people love it.
Man, it's over 20 years ago, isn't it?
Yeah, it's old school, that. So I can't wait to see what these guys do as part of a newly formed team, even though it's technically an old one.
Yeah, man, that should be good. I'll keep an eye on this one.
Yeah, for sure. And be sure to chuck the video link over, and I will put it in the show notes, as I said before as well. That'd be fantastic.
Will do. And here endeth Chris's Corner.
And here endeth Chris's Corner. I don't know. I don't think we should change it, but I might have to try and do something to try and incorporate. I don't know. We'll maybe have a discussion. Nobody likes change.
Change scares me.
That's the thing. Well, this is it.
I don't mind chiming in like I do, you know what I mean? When I've got stuff, that's all good.
No, sure. It makes sense that the stuff like that kind of gets tacked onto Chris's Corner. So thank you very much indeed to the both of you for your stuff there. That's awesome. Let's move on to the plugs, guys, and begin to wrap this one up.
Plug Life.
Okay, as always, you are listening to us across a number of platforms, and I mean a number. We're on like 9 podcasting platforms now. I actually got to the point where I can't remember them all. So the main ones, of course, as I explained last week, anchor.fm, you can check that out, as it will also give you links to every other platform we're available on, but just to name a few, of course, Spotify, iTunes, absolutely, we're on there, Stitcher, and we're still posting to SoundCloud as well. So if you do check us out on there, you like the stuff, please go ahead, chuck us a like, chuck us a follow if you like it. If you enjoy the content, you can get future episodes as they drop each week. And of course, if you're feeling particularly fruitful, go ahead and leave us a comment. Also, we are on the social medias. I never actually plug it, but I will plug this quickly. We are on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. If you haven't gone ahead and liked that, we post every podcast episode to the Facebook page.
Weirdly, I'm the admin of.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how that happened.
But I don't know either.
It doesn't really matter. We can sort it out at some point, Chris. But nonetheless, you can go to, I think it's just facebook.com/funkygamer. I managed to get that, which is kind of cool. It's been around for a while. The graphics and stuff need updating, but yes, that should hopefully be all completed within the next week or so. Other than that, you can talk to us on Twitter as per usual. The main Funky Gamer account is at Funky Gamer Blog. You can talk to me directly if you wish. I'm at Ricky James. Chris, on the other hand, is
at @X_CW.
And Dave's Twitter is
at E46Div.
And again, all of these in the show notes below, along with anything we've mentioned that may be relevant to today's episode, and a single Xbox One code for Overcooked. So go ahead and swipe that if you want it. If it's taken, sorry, it's already taken. First person to use it will get the game. It's as simple as that. I don't think I have anything else to add. Everything else that you want to know regards to social media, the platforms on which you can follow us, all down below. Check out Reddit, check out Discord. Say hi on Discord. Always say it. We love the Discord. Still not enough people in there for it to make it a booming community, but goddamn, we're still aiming for it, guys.
We're still plugging away.
We still are. So thank you very much. Be sure to check the Discord out and say hello. I have nothing else that I really have to say. So unless you guys have any finalities, Chris, you got anything else?
I've got one more thing.
Ooh, I almost forgot about it for a second, you know.
And did you?
Yeah, yeah. And then I was like, no, something's wrong.
It's not Fortnite related, is it?
It is Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order related.
Yeah.
Oh, I can retire the sick bucket, once.
It will be playable at E3.
I'm not going to E3.
Well, there you go. If you really want to have a go at it, you need to get yourself over there.
That's an expensive trip, just to have an early access go at that.
It isn't it, really. But yeah, if you are going to E3, then yeah, you will get the chance to play Fallen Order a lot earlier than the rest of us.
Well, we're going to be doing our best to actually try and cover E3 in some capacity, as we've alluded to on earlier episodes. So maybe it's something we'll have a discussion about based on information we get from potentially one of the conferences.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I'm guessing it's going to be at probably EA's.
Yeah.
So really looking to find out more information on this, because based on what I already know so far, based on what everybody already knows, looks amazing, that game. Looks really good.
Yeah, it does. It does. I'm really looking forward to it.
That was the extent of your insight?
I've got a little bit more.
Oh, go on.
For Honor.
Yes.
Actually, as May the 4th was yesterday as we were recording this, obviously Star Wars Day, For Honor gave you lightsabers to play with.
Do you know what? As much as I don't like the look of that game just personally, and as much as
they keep throwing the content in there, don't they?
Yeah, as much as they kind of butchered the launch and stuff, they've done some cool stuff.
They have. Kind of wish I'd got it now, but...
Wait, you didn't play it?
No, I didn't.
Ah, wounded.
Yeah, there was the rabbit thing on April Fool's Day, and yeah, obviously across the course of this weekend there was the May the 4th lightsaber thing.
I actually took another screenshot in Assassin's Creed Odyssey, again in the outside world in a London apartment. You can go through to a room and there is a rabid figure on a shelf.
Oh, cool.
It's really weird to see in the Assassin's Creed universe.
Just kind of, it is, yeah.
Yeah, it's so strange. So I took a screenshot of that because it zooms in on it for like a second, but I managed to screen cap it. So it's on my Xbox feed. All the Xbox tags and PSN tags, all that's down below as well. Or in the podcast show notes, if it's not down below, wherever that is for you. Right, okay, cool. Well, thanks for those last final insights, Chris. I'm guessing you got nothing else that you want to add there?
Yeah, no, absolutely nothing.
Wonderful. Well, you really have pulled your weight this week, haven't you?
I know, yeah. A week off work will do that for me.
Wow. Have you had a week off?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice indeed. You kept that one quiet.
I know, yeah. It allowed me to do all my research this week properly.
I wondered why you sound mildly relaxed.
There you go. Now you know.
Wonderful. Right. Anything else that you'd like to tack on to the end here, Dave, before we go?
I have nothing.
Nothing indeed, as do I. So I guess all that remains to say is thanks for listening. Thanks to you two for being here as always. Dave, Chris, nice one, guys.
No problem.
See you next week.
Cheers, man.
No problem at all. And to you, as always, the listener, thank you so much for checking us out. Once again, if you like the stuff, go ahead and like it. Other than that, my name is Ricky James. This is the Funky Gamer Podcast, episode 23. And we will all speak to you next week.